It's great to be back. We're just a couple of minutes before we start. Good morning to Melissa and good morning to all those who have joined us this morning. Great to have our Kent contingent, Jill Boddy, joining with Paul from sunny Dover. Lucky you, definitely not sunny Surbiton, is it, this morning? Mark Curzon too. I'm glad you've all remembered to come back to St Matthew's after your week doing something different last week. I don't know what kit groups. I heard one went on a walk. And I don't know what others did. Do let me know what you did in your kit groups to worship God together last week. It seemed rather ironic that having encouraged you all to go elsewhere, that we actually went to church last Sunday, which was quite an emotional experience, but a good one. So Jill, good to have you here, as we said. Lou, good to have you here. Nigel Rowe, that's Elliot and Matilda's granddad. So good to have you here there from Salisbury as well. Lots of people joining together. And as we come to 10:30, I think we had better start. So we still wish you all a warm welcome. I am Reverend Helen Hancock. I am vicar at St Matthew's in Surbiton. And it's great to be with you today as we come to worship God together. A couple of weeks ago, it just seems like an age ago, we were enjoying school Welcome Sunday. And at that, we tried a new opening words of worship and welcome. And I explained that I'd been struck by words that the Archbishop of Canterbury had used in an interview talking about being in a church in Africa, where there'd only been 8 ventilators in the whole country prior to COVID-19 hitting, and that still there was a sense of joy and hope in the worship there. And this was the worship words they used, and I thought we would start it. So I'm going to say to you, God is good, and you respond, all the time. And then I'm going to say, all the time, God is good. You get that? Okay, we're going to try it. We're going to try it 3 times, and we're going to get louder each time. So, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Excellent. And we're going to have those words in our heads. Whatever's happened for us this week or in the last couple of weeks, we may have faced real problems. We may have had tragedy in our lives, but that doesn't stop the nature of God being good all the time. And we're going to sing about that as well in the words of our first song. So we're going to sing together, Over All the Earth.
Over all the earth, in the reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky, but my one request, but my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power, over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of the Lord. With you be more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again.
I just realized I hadn't actually sung for 2 weeks since when we started that hymn, so that felt a bit rusty, but it is good to be singing. And of course, when we are back in church, we won't be able to sing for a while probably, so it is good that by being online we can still sing together. We come to our time of confession now, and I'd like everybody, however young or old they are, to have a think. Maybe children will understand the terminology of I wonder what I should say to God that I'm sorry for today. Maybe it's something we've done recently or haven't done. Maybe we got told off for it, but maybe no one noticed, except it will have upset God if it was something that we did that we shouldn't have done, and it perhaps caused upset or unhappiness. So it's not necessarily about being found out on these things. It's about knowing that we aren't quite in the best relationship with God and wanting to do something about that. So let's have a few moments just when we can think about that, and then we'll join in with the words coming up on the screen together. So let us confess our sins to God. Let us pray. So we say together, Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them for the sake of your Son who died with us. Forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you more and more. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. Just thinking about that confession that we've said, and we said in this part that we, for the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, that's God doing something, cleanse us, again God helping to cleanse us, and change us. And it's that last, I thought, oh yikes, that's something we've got to be doing as well. We've got to be prepared to change. If we know we've done something wrong and we've asked forgiveness, part of that is our willingness to change ourselves, and that's hard. But let's perhaps think about that this week. What do we need to change about ourselves if we're really being honest and we really want God's forgiveness for us? So we are now going to have our reading, and this week we don't have a live reading. We have Simon Rowe, who offers to do readings always, which is great, and it's a recording this time. And so now, in the blink of an eyelid, we will go over to Simon. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Simon, for that reading. And it was a reading chosen for us to hear by Carolyn Lucas. And I'm delighted that Carolyn is speaking to us today, bringing God's word to us. Carolyn, welcome. I'm just going to hand it over straight to you. So good to see you.
Good to see everybody. I suspect there might have been a bit of problem with the sound because I couldn't hear the reading. And I think that a few other people couldn't either. So maybe I'll just really quickly summarize it. Peter and John have healed a lame man, and then they have been spoken about Jesus, and then at the beginning of chapter 4 they've been dragged off by the temple people and the leaders that have arrested them, put them in jail, and then when they talk to them the next day they want to know why they're doing this disruptive thing, by what power they've done it, and really they don't want them to talk at all. So that's the sort of feel for the reading. And from that reading, I've been doing a little bit thinking about what it means to both fit in and to stand out. And I wondered whether most of us at some point have maybe felt a bit like a square peg in a round hole. And there's a slide for that, where we're trying to fit in or we feel like we're being knocked into a space that isn't really ours. Maybe that's because you stand out from the crowd, or maybe it's for another reason. And then I thought, well, it doesn't really take very much, does it, to look back over the last few months and to recognize that the world that we live in, the world that we know and the way we do things has been completely shaken up, turned upside down. It's been disrupted. It's been damaged. It's been really difficult and very challenging. It's been painful. And yet there have been signs of creativity and hope and of community flourishing in the midst of that difficulty. So what, as we move forward, as lockdown eases, as we get used to a new normal, what is different for us as individuals and for us as a church? How do we fit in, or should we? Like I said, that reading follows the incident where Peter and John had met a lame man and offered Jesus his healing. Their action had turned that man's life upside down positively. But their actions had stood out and had stirred up a community who were both excited and exhilarated, but worried and concerned. And if you think about Peter and John, before they'd met Jesus, they fitted quite well into their community. We'll have a second slide. They had jobs and families. They got on with everyday stuff much as everyone else did. And then Jesus had arrived and turned their world upside down. And suddenly they were doing different things. They were following and learning and being challenged. And now Jesus has died and been resurrected, and they've received the Holy Spirit, and they've stand out. The Holy Spirit has filled them. That's the third slide. And they've on the temples, the steps of the temple, they stand out. The slide before that. Steps of the temple, they're standing out, and they've preached with authority, and up to 5,000 people have decided to follow Jesus. They certainly weren't doing what was expected of them in the crowd at that point. And because they stood out, the local leaders were annoyed and angry and furious. Suddenly, the thing that a few weeks previously the disciples had feared when they were in the locked room, that the authorities would find them, has happened. They've been dragged off. They're facing something akin to a trial. But they're different people from the people they were a few weeks previously. They're not frightened anymore. They're not behind closed doors. And they can stand up for Jesus, even in the midst or in front of an angry and powerful group. End of part one.
You can't hear me either. I've been on mute that whole time. I am so sorry. The comments shoot up everywhere saying, I can't hear you, which is helpful, but only if I see they're happening. So I will just say, I'm sorry you weren't hearing me for about 30 seconds. I'm sorry you didn't hear Simon Rowe, but at least you got to look at him for 1 hour, 1 minute, 44 seconds. Let's just sing.
I am the city on a hill. Yeah.
So I bet you're all relieved that I am not preaching, because I'd probably make a big mistake in that as well. But anyway, you'll just have to forgive me. It's amazing how being off for a week rather throws you off. So we are now coming, though, the bit I do know is we are coming to the Creed, our opportunity to affirm together the God in whom we believe. And so we say this together. Let's pause after each phrase, if it makes sense to. I believe in God, who is bigger than time, who made the world, who knows more than I'll ever know, who loves me and all creation, who is with me now, who guides me patiently, who forgives all my failings, and whom I will be with forever. Thank you, God. So we have said our creed together, and now I'm delighted that Carolyn is going to come back and is going to give us the next part of her talk. So Carolyn, over to you.
Thank you. So I think we left it with the disciples standing out. They are different people who are confident, but their confidence is firmly rooted in Jesus and in the message that they're sharing. And that's because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the slide. When it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, the sense of the word is that they are overwhelmed by the Spirit, overtaken by, developed and led by. Years ago, I read a book called Spirit-Controlled Temperament by a guy called Tim LaHaye, which described this as allowing the Holy Spirit to both transform your strengths and transform your weaknesses, not changing you as a person, developing you to the very best that you can be. I always sort of think about Peter in that respect. He had always been the first one to speak, the first one to jump into the water, the first one to open his mouth, sometimes without engaging his brain. He's still that person, but led by the Spirit, his focus is so different. And I think the other important thing for them is that they had been with Jesus. That's the next slide. The people see the difference in them. Don't forget, we're talking just a few weeks after Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection. Many of the people in Jerusalem see them, and they have seen a transformation. They'd understood, John and Peter had understood that the message of God's kingdom, and they were completely now committed to their part in bringing it about. So they were prepared to stand up and to stand out for the truth, graciously and lovingly, whatever they were facing. And right at the end of the reading, in a verse we didn't have, but as you didn't hear it, it doesn't really matter, they are challenged. They can't be arrested for anything because they haven't really done anything wrong, but they don't want them to talk about it. And they say, you can go, but you're not to talk about Jesus anymore. And their response is, we can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. They had lived with Jesus. They had followed him, adopted his lifestyle, seen his compassion, seen the way that he challenged evil, and they could no longer blend in with a crowd and stay safe and quiet. They felt they had no choice but to continue building God's kingdom. It's because, like I said, they're different people. Their DNA is shot through now with the Holy Spirit. Only a few weeks ago, their world had been turned about round by Jesus's death. They thought that the end had come. And now with the coming of the Holy Spirit and Jesus's resurrection, it's been turned the right way up again. And they're at the head of a movement which is going to transform the world. Over to you, Helen.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Good to hear your thoughts on that. I love the DNA that is the marks of the disciple. A great slide as well to help us focus on that. So as I said at the beginning, I'm Helen Hancock. Welcome to our service. It's great to have Carolyn Lucas leading as well. She's a minister in the Tolworth, Hook and Surbiton team ministry. If you've joined us recently, or maybe you've joined us online and you've never actually been in the building, this is what the church looks like from one end. And you can visit us now currently just for private prayer on Tuesday afternoon between 2 and 4 and Saturday between 10 and 12. But we are trying to put in place our plans for our first services in church, which we anticipate will be in August. Our PCC is meeting this Tuesday to make decisions about that. So please keep the PCC and the leadership team in your prayers. If you've got any suggestions, let us know. And also, if you are a technological, you'll tell I'm not, but if we've got any techies in the building or in the community, it would be great to hear from you. It's chances are that whatever we're going to do moving forward is going to involve more technology. And so we could really do with some offers of skill. And even if you're not skilled, but you're willing to learn, that would be great. So I'd love to be inundated with emails from you all, please, about that. Obviously, it won't be some people's bag, but other people perhaps do think about offering. More technology. We're going to have a Zoom call today at 11:45, and perhaps on that call we might discuss plans for getting back into church. It would be good to hear your views. If you've got them, do join the Zoom call. I hope you've got details of that call. If you haven't, send me an email or your kit group facilitator, and they will make sure you've got the details for the call at 11:45. I think that's all the messages I wanted to give you. So I think what we'll do now is go back to hear some more of Carolyn.
Thank you. I guess with any talk, what we sort of need is a so what. That's what happened for Simon, for Peter and for John. Standing out, being distinctive, and making a difference. But we're Jesus's disciples too. And we're called to be distinctive people too. I think God's people are always called to be distinctive. We should stand out in a crowd. Not because of our choice of clothes or hairstyle or our choice of music or lifestyle, or because of our material positions, or because of our jobs. We should stand out because we are called to live in love and peace and unity. And Jesus himself said this to his disciples. He said, "You're called to be the light of the world." We've got to show Jesus. We're to light up the darkness. I guess my question is, how are you doing that in your families or your homes or your communities? And how do we continue to do that as a church? The church has done a lot over the pandemic. How do we continue? Jesus said we were to be a city on a hill. A city on a hill really can't be hidden. We don't sort of get a choice about being placed on the hill. And it certainly means that you get pot shots taken at you sometimes because you stand out. Jesus also said we were to be the salt of the earth. We're to add flavor to life around us, and we're to preserve it and to make it better. So in what ways can we, as we go forward, add flavor to the world around us, to our communities? But just like Peter and John, that's only possible when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a slide. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I guess one of the challenges for each of us is to think about, you know, we all perhaps are aware, or actually maybe not all of us are, but often we're aware of the things that we're good at. We're even sometimes more aware of the things we're not so good at. But filled with the Spirit, God wants to transform our strengths and our weaknesses into opportunities for him. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We also need to spend time with Jesus, just like the disciples did. That's what stood out for the people around Peter and John. They recognized that these men had been with Jesus. We need to be people who live in such a way that people around us can see there's something different, so that our response can be that we spend time with Jesus. And the result is that we should end up not being able to stop speaking about and living in a way that simply share Jesus. As we move forward, we're all called, I think, to be a part of rebuilding our society and our community. And the way we do that, the way we act, the way we treat others, our compassion, our love, and the way that we come together should mark us out as God's people. And because we want to see a rebuilding, we know that our priority in that is to see God's kingdom and to build that. And we're part of that. We're living stones, Peter later describes us as in one of his books. We're to build God's kingdom in our lives first, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities. And we're asked to do that, knowing that the structure of God's kingdom on earth is based on Jesus, the cornerstone, who holds all things together. So perhaps in the week ahead, think about how Jesus is the stone that holds together your life and what difference that makes for you. And as we move forward as a community, how are we as Jesus' disciples going to stand up and stand out for Jesus and allow him to be at the center of our rebuilding? Amen.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. We're going to hear you a bit later read our gospel reading at the beginning of our Holy Communion service. Regulars will know that after this service is finished, we then move into a short Holy Communion service for those who wish to stay on and take part in that. We're now going to move to prayer, and I am minded that people learn and respond in different ways. So we're going to have a bit of an experiment this morning. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. There'll be another one. So what I'd like us to do is we're going to sort of pray in two ways today. I'm going to say some formal prayers, and there will be a response, which is the usual response that many will be used to. When I say, Lord, hear us, the response will be, Lord, graciously hear us. But also, if you are watching on Facebook, and what you'd like to do is you'd like to post a prayer, it may be the name of a person, it can't be a full prayer or you'll be texting like crazy, but maybe it's a name of someone, or it's just a situation, or it's a particular thing on your heart. If you would like to, while we're doing the prayers, if you'd like to type those, we'll try and get them up coming up as comments for everybody to see, but the Facebook community at least will be able to see them coming up, and they will be prayers rising to God, albeit through technology. So we haven't tried this before, it's a new way. I just thought it would be worth a try. So as I say, some traditional prayers with the response, when I say, Lord, hear us, the response, please, Lord, graciously hear us. But as if part of that prayer time, you want to send up a name, send up a situation, then please do feel free to do that. And that will be part of our corporate prayer. I already note that Mike and Chris Taylor have told us that their daughter is in the delivery room delivering her first baby as we have our service. So obviously prayers for Steph and for others. So in this new way, let us come to God to pray. Lord, thank you that as individuals, a church community, a nation, we are taking steps back towards normal life. Father God, some feel it is too soon and too fast and are anxious, while others feel it is all too slow and are frustrated. We pray that you would guide those at every level who are making decisions about how to handle the ongoing risk of the virus, be they government officials, scientists, business owners, our local councillors, and our own PCC. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, we thank you for the community of believers that makes up our church and this team. We pray that despite the recent closure of our buildings, the church was still very much alive and active and will continue to be so in the coming weeks and months. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We turn our thoughts to the wider world. Many countries are still struggling to contain the virus, and so often, as is true, it's the very poorest of the world who feel the greatest impact of this pandemic. And so we lift before you those in refugee camps, those living in countries without good healthcare systems, those living in overcrowded conditions, those whose means of economic survival has been entirely taken away from them. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Creator God, we thank you for our wonderful creation. You fill the earth and sea and sky with life. Forgive us our neglect of your creation, the choking waste of our pollution, the damage done by careless habits, and our indifference to future generations. Help us to amend our lives, to refuse more plastic if we can't reuse it, to lift our voice for lasting change, and to live well and gently on this earth. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, for those who are terminally ill, elderly, or frail, for all who live with a disability or in constant pain, for those who are lonely or isolated, for those who are depressed, anxious, or stressed. Lord, please surround the frightened with your tenderness. Give strength to those in pain. Hold the weak in your arms of love. Give hope and patience to those who are recovering, and resilience to those who are mourning. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And we pray for those who are expressed to need prayer from our Facebook lead, for Stephanie, for the family of Jeffrey Smith, Sue Fraser's father, for Michael in his continuing treatment. Pray for Jeffrey and Meg Phillips. Pray for Janie and Sammy and Rupert and their families, who are all facing tough times. Pray too for Harry and Bibby, as they are both being treated for cancer. I'm sure we know many other people who at this time are struggling and who are having tough times with health, not only COVID related, but wider than that. And so we bring those people and all our prayers to you now, as we say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And together we join in the collect for this week. Creator God, you made us all in your image. May we discern you in all that we see and serve you in all that we do, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we come to say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we come to our final hymn, The image which Carolyn had for us of the cornerstone is, or the capstone, they're the same thing, is a picture that we also have in our hymn that we sing together. So we sing together. Please don't forget that we are going to have our communion service following this and then our Zoom call at 11:45. But we stand to sing a very traditional hymn together. We sing, Christ is made the sure foundation. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen. So welcome back if you're here or you stayed on to share our communion service with us. We will have first our gospel reading. Some of you haven't had any Bible reading this morning yet, so it only seems appropriate to have a proper reading. And Carolyn is going to kindly bring that reading to us. So Carolyn, thank you.
So this reading is from Matthew chapter 13. And it's verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
Thank you, Carolyn. Sorry. And so now, with those words of the gospel ringing in our ears, we come to share the peace. We say together, "We are all one in Christ Jesus. We belong to him through faith, heirs of the promise of the Spirit of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you." We share peace, maybe by saying, excuse me, not doing that, by waving to the screen, or by exchanging the peace if we are sharing this with someone else in our household. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home, to the city where angels sing your praises. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup and gave it and said, "This is my blood shed for you all. for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. This is our story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. This is our story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Send your spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with open eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia! We now come to the prayer of spiritual reception. Simon will be receiving the bread and wine, representing you all, but your reception will be spiritually, virtually, if you like. And so we say this prayer together. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment touched in faith healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. The body of Christ.
Amen. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you and be thankful. Amen.
The blood of Christ.
Amen. And so we say together this prayer. Eternal God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, grant us to walk in his way, to rejoice in his truth, and to share his risen life, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. As has become our custom over these last few weeks, having pronounced a blessing, I suggest that we say the grace to one another. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.